So our scripture lesson I'm going to use today is from John. It's chapter 20, verses 1 through 18. Now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb early while it was still dark and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." So Peter went out with the other disciple, and they were going towards the tomb. Both of them were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter, and he reached the tomb first. And stopping to look in, he saw the linen cloths lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came following him and went into the tomb. He saw the linen cloths lying there and the face cloth which had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen sheets, but folded up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple who had reached the tomb first also went in, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to their homes, but Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. And as she wept, she stopped to look into the tomb. And she saw two angels in while sitting by the body of Jesus had lain, one at the head and one at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they've laid him." Having said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you've carried him away, tell me where you've laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father, but go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord," and that he had said these things to her. So I called this scripture, "What Love Shows Us." And so Mary Magdalene goes to the tomb early that morning, and the reason that she would have done that, she would have been there to prepare Jesus' body. She couldn't do it on Friday because it was too late, because the Jewish Sabbath would have started. All day Saturday then she wouldn't have come, and so it would have been Sunday morning, would have been the first time she came there. So in Mary Magdalene, we have a person, when we go back and read about her, who is a sinner like the rest of us, but Jesus had reclaimed, had forgiven her sins, and purified her. So even though that she was a great sinner in the eyes of the people at that time, she also loved very much. And what she had that day to share with Jesus was this love. So one of the customs of that time was that you were going to come back and visit the tomb of the person, because it was believed that the person's spirit would be around the tomb for the first 3 days. And it would be present. And so you would always want to come back, especially for family members or loved ones. She'd arrived early before dawn. Did anybody get up before dawn today? It was a beautiful sunrise, wasn't it? So think of that as she's coming. It's just dark. The sun might have just barely been coming up. And so when she gets there, and I describe to the children and to Grandpa, when they talk about stone, I always think of this big giant rock. And till I was in Israel, I never realized it was a wheel, something that not anybody can move, but at least you'd have a chance to move. And she looks in there and she doesn't see his body. So she has two immediate thoughts. One is, did the Jewish leaders come and take his body so they could just punish him that much more? So if you go back and think about what we celebrate as Good Friday, he died on the cross relatively short period of time. That usually took days for someone to die on a cross. And for Jesus, it happened in a pretty short time. Or did grave robbers come to take the stuff that was in the tomb? And she didn't really know which one it was. Probably wasn't grave robbers, though, because his burial cloth was there. So Mary runs and gets assistance. And so he's not really named here, but they're talking about John. It's John and Peter running to the tomb. And so John's quicker there, and he gets there, but he doesn't go in. He stops. But Peter, and so when we think about Peter, Peter's always the first guy in. He's always a little over anxious. He doesn't stop at the entrance. He just runs clear into the tomb area. And I'm going to show you a picture of what I think that tomb looks like. And so now you have the two of them there. So Mary doesn't really understand. Now, if you think about why didn't she recognize Jesus when we have this conversation about them talking? Well, part of it is, have you ever been someplace and someone comes up to you and starts talking to you and they're not where they're supposed to be? You know them because they always, so the last time it happened to me, there's a lady at the restaurant where my Kiwanis Club meets. She's always dressed in the uniform that they're supposed to wear. I expect her to be there on Wednesday mornings. And one day I'm in the grocery store buying something and she starts talking to me and I'm going, I know you, I know I'm supposed to know you, but I don't know why I know you or where I know you from. Now she finally talked to me enough that I finally figured out who it was. But when we see people sometimes and we're not expecting them or they're not where we normally see them, we don't always put it together who it is. Well, she expected to come to the tomb that day and find the body of the one she cared for and loved. She was not expecting it to seem up. So that might explain why she doesn't really understand, but she continues to love. So John is the first one at the tomb. He looks in. He sees nothing but the burial cloths. So I think it's fair to say that John becomes the first person to believe in the resurrection. Jesus had told him what was going to happen. I think when you read through there, they are very confused about what he's really trying to tell them. I don't know that they ever really understand it, because he'll tell them what's going to happen, and then right after that, they start arguing amongst themselves about who's going to be at the right hand and who's going to be at the left hand. So I think it's pretty safe to assume they never really understood those conversations that he was having with them. But when John looks in that day and sees him gone, I think it's safe to say that he's that first person to believe in the resurrection. And so Peter rushes in like a bull in a china shop, because that's what he does. And he looks and he sees these burial cloths. Now, I don't know about you guys, but the very first thing I do when I'm getting out of bed is I take those covers and I throw them about halfway across the bed. Okay? Nobody would go into my bedroom right after I got up and go, gosh, nobody slept in here tonight. Because it's a wreck, okay? And then we're going to come back later and fix it. And so in trying to describe what this would look like to him, we think, if you think of your bed covers and suddenly you just evaporated and the covers just went down so they weren't really messed up at all, I think that's a good description of what they saw when they looked in. They didn't see where a grave robber would have had to move the grave clothes to take his body. Or if the Roman soldiers came, or the religious leaders, it wouldn't have been that way. It would have been more like the covers in the bed that we have where we throw them over. So just think of them as just almost like dropping down straight down. Now the other thing about Peter is, 48 hours before that, he denied Jesus, and he kind of slinks off. I mean, he's just gone. I don't ever remember reading the story about exactly where he's going or what happens, but somehow in this 48 hours, he's found his way back to the disciples. And maybe more importantly, they've accepted him back in. Because if you're with a group of people and all of a sudden you deny him, you turn your back to him, you might be able to get back in the group, but it usually doesn't happen that quick. And so maybe we learn something, not so much about Peter, but maybe more about the group that they're willing to forgive. Because clearly Peter's been forgiven in this. So I have three pictures I want to share with you guys today. Now, when we were in Jerusalem, and I think it was 9 years ago about this time. So just above, now pay no attention to the buses in the bottom of the picture, okay? There are two places in Jerusalem that both groups believe are the tomb of Jesus. The first one's in the Church of the Holy Sepulchre, which I don't really have any good pictures of it. It was so dark in there. But I brought my Land of Jesus book, and I have it marked where the Church of Sepulchre is in it, and you're welcome to look through the pages after the service. And so that's three churches. It's a Greek Orthodox, Catholic church, and I cannot remember the third church, and I've been looking all week, and nothing I've got tells me what the third church is. But they have this place, and when you look at the picture, there's a tomb over the place where they believe the burial was, and then they build a church over the tomb. Some centuries later, the English people came into the area, and there was a soldier, and he believes that this is the place. So I didn't read that scripture today, but when they talk about the skull of Golgotha, so if you look at that fence post just to the right of the picture, if you visualize that, it sort of looks like a nose and the face of a person there. Again, pay no attention to the bus station at the bottom. Now, this is from a little bit different angle, but I think it makes you see that face a little better. And so it's believed for people, for the English people that have that area, it's believed then that the cross was on top of that hill. And then the burial place for Jesus is maybe a couple hundred yards to the, well, I think it's west, but if you ever go there and it's a different direction, just say I have no sense of direction, but I think it's west of there. And then that hill that you see there, they carved out a tomb. Now, I thought I took a picture of the outside of the tomb, but apparently I didn't. I can't find it any place. But in the book, I marked a place where it shows the outside of what this tomb looks like. And that's what the tomb looks like on the inside. They went inside the side of that hill. They carved out a place for the tomb. And so this would have been a family tomb. You would have, the family would have continued to use this over the years and the years. They would have come in just like the ladies came that day to put spices on the body to make sure everything was okay. And what the family did is at when there was no longer a body there, it was just bones, they would take the bones and they had a thing, it was called an ossuary, and it's kind of just like, think of it as a black or a block box, and it was concrete or stone. Does anyone know what the longest bone in your body is? Femur. So the box had to be as big as a person's femur, and they put all your bones in there, and that's the way the family would keep you. Because it's so rocky and stony there, you're not going to be able to dig in the ground most places. It's just too rocky. And so once that family tomb was full, then they were going to take you out and put you in an ossuary. So this would have been used over and over again. It wasn't in the scripture I read today, but it's thought that this was the first time this had been used. So what we learn about is the love that everybody had for Jesus that day. I was watching a show last night. I like to watch a lot of detective shows. And I was thinking about the message today and love. And this lady had lost her fiancé had just proposed to her. They were agreed to get married. And he was a police officer, and this was back in the 90s, and he was killed. And she was talking about when he asked her to marry them. They were at some kind of a party. There were a bunch of policemen buddies around. She said literally there was 100 people there around him. And she said, when he asked me to marry him, I only remember him and I being there and what we said to each other and the way we touched each other. And I think that's an example of real love, where no matter what's going on, how joyful, how chaotic, how unjoyful it is, when you have that love with each other, even though mentally you may not understand the situation, that love sort of overcomes everything else. When she goes to the tomb that morning, and she would have heard Jesus talk about what was going to happen to him in Jerusalem, she looks in and he's gone. Nothing that we read today says, oh yeah, this was the resurrection that he had been telling us about. She thinks of all these other things. Oh, somebody must have stolen the body. The Jewish leaders came back and did something to him. The Roman soldiers took and hit him. She never thinks about what she has been told by Jesus was going to happen. And so we see this love that Peter and John have because they come running down. Don't really know what Peter's thinking. We know what John's thinking. He believes, probably believes for the first time and understands what Jesus is really saying. So the reason this love's so important, and Steve stole some of my thunder already because he told you what the end of the message was at New Burlington. But what I said at New Burlington was, for us to be Christians, we can disagree on different parts of the Bible. And one of us says, oh, I think it means this. And somebody else will read it and say, oh, I think it means that. And I don't know about you guys, but sometimes I read it myself and something I thought some years ago, and now I read it now, I go, boy, I was really wrong on that. It really means something different. If we have love in our lives, if we allow Jesus' love, it can change us in a way that those other things, we'll get over them. We can still find a way to love people. And so for us, I think there's three things that we learn from this. It's absolutely important that we have love in our hearts for us to be able to understand how much God and through his son Jesus Christ loves each and every one of us each and every day. So then if we're going to go out, so how many people here think you're a disciple? Everybody raise your hands because you are whether you know it or not. So if we're going to do that and we're going to go out and tell people what God has done in our lives, how it's changed us, how it's made us a different person, then we have to have that love in our hearts and souls to be able to change it. And sometimes, and so now I'm speaking for myself, sometimes I don't know that I have all that love I should have. That I've found a way to lose it. Or somebody made me mad. Or somebody aggravated me. Does that happen to any of the rest of you? Okay. And so we need to set that aside and allow God's love in our hearts for us to overcome that. We let those personal sinful things get in our way from loving people the way we're supposed to love them. So if we're going to go out and we're going to explain how much we're loved by Jesus Christ, and we're going to share that love with others so that they know what they could have if they want it, we got to make sure that love's in our hearts and our souls. So I didn't get a chance to read the paper today, but I'm assured there's bad news in there, right? And if you watch the news, I'm also assured there's bad news in there too today. Because that's the way it is every day. Don't let those bad news things overcome the love that Jesus gave all of us when he raised his son for our sins forever. And so the other thing I said at New Burlington today is that we should celebrate Easter Sunday every Sunday. That resurrection is so important to us. It is everything that we believe. It's what makes us a Christian. So when you go out today, share that love with family members and friends, with people you don't know, anybody you come in contact with. Let them know how much God loves you and how much you love God. Amen? Let us pray. Father, we're so grateful that we can celebrate this day of resurrection. Let us not celebrate it just this one day, but every day. We're so thankful that you brought your son into the world as a living presence forever and forever. Be with us all as we go out this day. Be with family and friends as we come together to celebrate. We're so grateful and thankful for all you do for us each and every single day. Amen.